krachten ervaring.
Me and my fam take this rap shit serious.
Yo, 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 you are now in tune to episode 2?
Episode 2. Officially episode 2.
Officially motherfucking episode 2 of the Serious Rap Shit podcast. That is two curse words in less than 5 seconds of this podcast. I promise you there will be more.
Yeah, tons more.
Tons more curses. My name is John Morrison. I'm your host.
Josh Lottie, I'm your other host.
Were. And I want to start like from the rip. And like, give a shout out to everybody who showed love and like shared the first episode and listened to it and all of that. We kind of threw it up and was like, all right, let's see what it's hitting for. And y'all were like, we fuck with this. So I greatly appreciate that. Everybody who listened to the first one.
Yeah, definitely. We appreciate all the love, the shares. You know, if you could go on like on SoundCloud, they got the subscribe button. You hit the subscribe button, you'll know every time we drop.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, hit the like and just continue to share it with, you know, with people you know and let people know about it. We appreciate it. At the end of the day, we appreciate it because, you know, we just two dudes out here trying to get shit off and, you know what I mean, and build and we appreciate all the love.
We just trying to talk shit and have y'all listen to it.
Exactly, pretty much.
The purest intentions. Like, this ain't like, you know, this isn't some kind of like super villain trick that's gonna like, I don't know, open up some kind of weird portal to another universe whenever you listen to it. It's none of that kind of shit. This is pure intentions. We want to talk about hip hop and have y'all listen to it. And also, we got it on SoundCloud now, but a few folks have asked about like iTunes and stuff. So we're gonna have like iTunes, Stitcher, all of that.
Yeah, it'll be up on all formats. As the weeks go by, it'll be up on more and more formats. We'll get it all going. And, you know, again, we just appreciate the love and, you know what I mean, and all the shares. Yo, we're really humbled by it. We're really humbled by it.
Absolutely. And neither one of us are naturally humble people.
So. No, I'm an arrogant motherfucker.
It's extraordinary circumstances. So yeah, what's been going on? What's been popping?
I don't know, man. Like, it's been a real slow week.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Ain't shit jump off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Did I cut you off?
Yeah, I was gonna say there was one big thing. You know, we do have a new Supreme Overlord.
Word.
And, you know, we might have to rock with that for a little while.
Yeah. So. Shout out to I've been on like a comic book. I've been on like a comic book kick lately. Shout out to literally Lex Luthor. Say that three
exactly,
times.
Yes.
Say that shit three times fast. Literally Lex Luthor in the form of Donald J. Trump being elected president of the United States.
Lex Luthor with somehow worse hair.
Absolutely.
Donald Trump is Lex Luthor somehow with worse hair.
Yeah, with a worse, like, dome situation than even Lex Luthor himself. It's funny, man. Like, the think pieces are on fire right now. Everybody's blaming everybody. They're like, you voted for Trump. Or you didn't go out and vote. Or you voted third party. As usual, electoral politics in America is a fucking shit show.
Yeah, I mean, like, we know that... Right. I mean, like, the numbers are in, and Clinton won the popular vote.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the actual number of people who went out and voted didn't really make the difference. What happened more was through, like, voter suppression, through repeals in the Voting Rights Act, and...
District redlining and
gerrymandering
shit,
and shit like that. That changed a lot of how, like... how he was able to win certain districts, and mm-hmm. you know, they reduced the number of polling places all across the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So when they repealed some stuff in the Voting Rights Act, that was one of the major things. They had reduced the number of voting places, and of course where they pulled the voting places from mm-hmm. were, for you know, from generally black and brown people.
Where we be at.
Yeah. So you know, that means, you know, when you go to vote and there's a line and you're like, well, I gotta go to work and I gotta do this and I gotta pick my kids up, blah blah blah. You now are in a situation where it's like, well, I can't wait 3 hours to go vote. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of shit that goes into it. You know, I know people are like, man, they're hoping Obama or Biden or, you know, fucking Bernie Sanders will come running down to the ring to Real American Hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Kick the $1 billion man in his chest and then, you know, give him a big leg drop. But it ain't happening.
It ain't happening. I mean? Yeah, this is what we're dealing with. I've, in all transparency, I've been a firm believer that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are comparable evils. And I say that because Hillary Clinton is a clearly more savvy and connected politician. Donald Trump is kind of an outsider. And of course, is like his rhetoric and all of that stuff is fucked up and it's inflammatory. Hillary Clinton has a track record of fucking with black and brown people.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
like,
what I'm saying?
She definitely wasn't the perfect candidate. And yeah, I mean, as far as the outsider thing, apparently there was an article I just reading the other day that he didn't know, like his staff didn't know. They actually had to hire the whole West Wing. Like they didn't know they have to go in and like hire people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I guess they just assumed people were going to be there to do their jobs.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he's more than anything, what's kind of scary with him is that he may have no idea how to actually do the job.
Yeah, how to govern, yeah.
And which means Mike Pence, who's probably way worse in a lot of senses.
Yeah. Dude, Trump's going to have to, like, lean on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he's going to have to lean. It's similar to the... I almost, you know, push it back to just a few years ago now, 8 years ago now, when, you know, Dick Cheney, the devil himself, mm-hmm. was essentially running the government because Bush was a dope. Like, yeah, you know yeah. what I mean? I think, yeah. think you're going to have a lot of that, where Pence is, you know what I mean, the guy who's running a lot of shit. And this dude believes that, you know, you can, like, electrocute gay people when they'll turn straight. So
what the fuck, Mike Pence? That's not scientific, nor is it, like, morally right and exact. Like,
yeah.
how'd you even get to be an adult like thinking shit like that?
No,
it amazes me.
What would not be surprised if, you know, they found out he was like in bathroom sticking his foot underneath the stall.
Oh yeah,
because generally what you see with a lot of, essentially, especially the Republicans and stuff like that, when they're like wild anti-homosexual, they're really gay.
Yeah,
it's a self-hatred thing and that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if it came out like he's banging male prostitutes or some shit like that.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? The DNC, the RNC convention was it in Ohio?
Ohio.
I read an article. I don't know, you know, if this was from a reliable source, but apparently the male escort business in that area, yeah, it was on smash. Which, you know, homophobes across the board are typically, when dealing with, like, talking about cis heterosexual male homophobes, typically, like you said, it's like repressed, like
yeah,
self-hatred
repressed
type shit. It's wild to me. And I appreciate all of the talk about how this played out demographically. You know, clearly I have my, you know, not even reservations, but like an intense distaste and moral opposition to Hillary Clinton.
Uh-huh.
But it would seem as though she's the best choice in this particular scenario with her and Donald Trump. And of course, black women, 94%, you know, voted for Hillary. Shout out to white women.
Yeah. Shout out to white women.
53%
yeah.
of white women. You dropped the fucking ball again. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Like, it's yeah. is. But I think that just not to cut you off,
no,
but
no,
like,
no, you good.
It just. I think that it's important that we understand, you know, how these kind of like social dynamics and like political affiliations break down through like class and gender and race. I've said it to people all the time when folks say, you know, oh, white males and white supremacy. White women have thoroughly helped
yeah.
uphold white supremacy, you know, since, you know, throughout the history of this thing as like
yeah,
a global
force.
Yeah, I
mean, that's why you see, you know, there's a complete separation. Now, I don't want to say complete separation, but there's a big separation in, like, feminism, where it's white feminism and black feminism.
Yeah.
Because, you know, white folks cat for white folks. And it's just at the end of the day, a lot of times it comes down to that. And I know it, a lot of folks are saying like, oh man, well, you know, I don't think everybody who voted for Trump is racist and this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But you cool with it.
Yeah, but you okay
you
with it.
You know what I'm saying?
Like that, you know what I mean? You essentially John Stockton racism right there. You just assisted it. Like, you know that's what I mean? Nice. you know, you handing off right there. And that's not what you know, if we want to progress as people, that's you can't do that. Like, absolutely. You know what I mean? And like I said, well, listen, neither one of us are like, yo, I'm with her.
No, fuck no.
So don't get it twisted. We wasn't on some like, yo, I'm with her shit. Mm-hmm. But we definitely are not people that are like, yo, it's okay. You know, lesser two evils type thing. Like, at the end of the day, you know, we got a dude that's openly racist, misogynistic, xenophobic. Yeah. Like, and we're in a position where we might not face some of it, mm-hmm. But, you know, people that we love and care about may be affected heavily by what's going on.
Absolutely. And he seems to be uniting, like, the troops of, like, white nationalism.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, he's got, like, the head of Breitbart. It's like one of his main people that he wants to part of the cabinet. Yeah, or it's part of the transition team.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to, like, you know, in fact, no, fuck a shout out. Black people, stop sharing articles from Breitbart that where the headline kind of aligns with your principles and the opinion that you're trying to make, but you're taking it from this racist right wing.
Alt-right. They're very high alt-right.
You know what I'm saying? Like stop that shit.
Yeah.
Like,
also, stop sharing shit from InfoWars.
Fuck InfoWars, dog. Like, for real.
My big thing on the internet, period, is like, yo, read the article before you share it.
Please. And I don't always do it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to read this later. Oh, I'm out and about, or I'm, you know, I'm in the crib or whatever. I just can't, you know, get to it. Yeah. But I'm scrolling and I see it. But I make sure to be like, you know, for later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, I'm gonna read this, I'm gonna check this out later.
And like, the big thing too is you may have sites that you know are decent sites. Like, I'll share shit from Vice because I'm pretty sure Vice puts out good, you know, it's generally good content.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Intercept, I put it out, I'll share shit because they're generally good quality shit.
Yeah.
But like, yo, listen, and big thing, and you know, we're a rap podcast, TMZ Hip Hop is not real.
TMZ, this is the thing. Pro tip for y'all. TMZ Hip Hop is neither hip hop nor is it even fucking TMZ. Stop sharing that shit.
Yeah.
I definitely saw an article. It was about Young Thug, and they were talking about like Young Thug's like sexual stuff, and I'm like, yo, this is blatantly fake.
Yeah.
But you know,
but it was like, I think TMZ Hip Hop was the site where that picture that was of Baby. And when it was like a condom on the floor
in the shower, yeah, that clearly Photoshop shit. Yeah, like,
no,
chill out with that.
Real quick though, did you see the where Trump released his new deal for Black folks? What site he used?
No,
he used MediaTakeOut.com.
No fucking way.
Yes,
chill.
This Hannah got his real story. He used MediaTakeOut.com to release his 10-point plan for Black folks.
Which one of y'all smart, savvy motherfuckers are working with the Trump transitional team and said, like, yo, we gonna leak this shit. We got a banger right here for Black folks. We gonna leak this shit to fucking MediaTakeOut.
I'm almost sure, like, Amorosa and Ben Carson, the only two Black people that Donald Trump, like, really knows.
That he even knows, yeah. Like, and Russell Simmons.
Yeah, are not, like, heavy on... Maybe it was Russell Simmons. Maybe Russell Simmons
might have been.
He hit Russell like, yo.
I feel like Russell would have been on brand and would have said like, let's leak it through all Def Digital
or something like what's that. The other Johnny has the. I can't think of it. It'll kill me.
Meditation can make me millions.
Probably.
.org.
Yeah, I mean, he probably's like, yo. Let's put it this way: when we all get our new cards that they assimilate, they send our money through.
Yeah,
they'll
yeah.
definitely be rush cards.
Absolutely, like, you know absolutely. What I mean? The end game of a cashless society, rush cards.
Rush cards. And if they just all of a sudden shut down on us for like 2 weeks, like, yeah. hey, you know, Russ won't be there to help
us. So just meditate. Meditate, and you'll be all right.
You don't need to eat.
I also, Josh knows, but some of y'all listening might not know. I got to DJ for a really big personal like influence on my own music. This weekend in Philly, I got to play a show with Cool Keith.
A legend.
Cool motherfucking Keith. Cool Keith from Ultramagnetic, a.k.a. Dr. Octagon. You know, if you know hip-hop, like, you know Cool Keith. You know what I'm talking about. And it was really fucking wild.
Yeah.
It was really wild. Josh was there. Yeah. The homies came out. Shout out to Justin and Steve. They came through. Mad people were there. And it was weird because apparently, you know, we love Cool Keith, but apparently he doesn't like spitting his actual songs.
Nah, he prefers to just mumble stuff on stage that is semi-coherent to like a freestyle. But he really had no interest in actually saying the real lyrics to his songs.
Yo, a couple songs, like he did Papa Large. He did Blue Flowers. All my like hip-hop heads, like Cool Keith heads, know what I'm talking about. A few of like the hits, quote-unquote, yeah, he did the songs. The rest of that shit, it was me in the background, you know, cutting up an instrumental and just him just freestyling. He would just go. And it was wild to see. It's like, yo, like...
He mentioned Philly maybe 25 times.
You gotta mention Philly. Like... When you're here. Yeah. Right? It's funny to me... what was striking playing this music for him and watching him perform, I was like, fam, you have to be super comfortable to do that.
Yeah.
Or you completely don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you completely don't care.
It's one of the two.
Like, your check is cut already, so you yeah, really it's, not it's worried all good. About this.
Yeah. I like to believe that it's like a combination of the two. Because,
I mean, listen, Cool Keith isn't a young dude. He's been saying, he's probably been touring pretty much with the same playlist of songs for a while.
Certainly the hits, like the older joints, yeah.
He's probably mega bored doing the same shit over and over.
He's like, I'm in this town.
Night.
I got this jackass behind me DJing for me. I'm just going to freestyle.
Yeah.
It's funny, speaking of like his legacy in the game, my older brother, used to be in a group called the Devastating Four in, I guess, mid to late 80s. And Josh is laughing. Josh is laughing at that name.
I just love old school rap names.
Fearless like, Four.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Word. It's Devastating Four. They were awesome. Because I remember my mom used to take me to see them perform. And my brother would be on stage with, like, the 808 and the 909 and shit. Like, doing live beats. And this is, like I said, you know... 20 years ago. And, or no, more than 30. 30,
years, like 30 years ago now, dog.
Yeah, about 30 years ago. And my brother actually, his group opened up for Cool Keith and Ultramagnetic.
I remember you telling me that, yeah.
Back in the day. And my mom definitely has a picture in her house. It's a Polaroid of my brother, ice grilling the camera, and his homies, and Cool Keith, just like, you know, posted up.
What I will say is, Cool Keith looks like hella young still. Like he doesn't look old.
Yo, man. I was
shout out to his jeans.
Yo,
jeans is strong as shit.
That motherfucker, his like genetic pool is straight from the motherland.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cause that nigga his black has not cracked at all.
At all.
I was walking through, I was working with the sound guy and like getting like my mixer and turntable set up and plugging into the house system, and Keith like rolled up on me and was like, yo, what's up, man? Like shook my hand and shit, and I looked in his face and I was like, fam, you look young as shit.
Yeah, he do.
You know, like, what I mean, like
he really do.
You don't look like an old head at all. But yeah, like that shit was dope. You know what I mean? Shout out to the people who deserve shout outs. Yeah. Fuck you to the people who deserve fuck yous.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We ain't gonna get into that.
No, but I mean you had a big weekend and like, you know, that was dope. I followed some new strippers on Instagram. And so my weekend was pretty legit, too. Like,
epic.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially, you know, you follow some, that's all new, like, visuals for you know what I mean? So my weekend was pretty big, too. I mean, just personally.
Absolutely.
I just want to put that out there.
I love following the strippers on Instagram. I love the bottle waitresses on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be like a little more like charismatic. And I guess maybe it's me, like their story is like mysterious to me. Because the stripper, I understand, you strip, you shake your ass, you make money, you tour, you travel. But the bottle waitresses, they're touring, they're traveling, their names and pictures are on flyers.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And I'm like, yo, y'all are like as popping as the strippers. It's so mysterious to me.
Yeah, it's a strange world of like of this new like just a new social media type thing where like people can become like big time famous and like tour because they're very attractive. Pour liquor, and most of the time they're not even like the actual like they're not making drinks or anything. They're essentially carrying drinks to you, bottles of drinks in a joint with like fucking sparklers coming out of it. Like,
point A to point B.
I'm not mad at you. Yeah. Do what you gotta do.
Get your
you
money.
Know what I mean, you know, fly to Abu Dhabi and all types of shit and get. And let's do this major.
I thought you was gonna say this shit from. From Aladdin.
I don't even know what that is.
I can't remember what that shit is called.
I was about to say Abu Ghraib, but that's a completely different place.
Bottle waitresses, don't go to Abu Ghraib.
Yeah, if you see an invitation to go to Abu Ghraib, that's not where you want to go.
Not at all.
No.
They're going to torture you.
Yes, it's going to be fucked up.
They're going to take pictures.
Yeah.
Also, like this weekend, I got to visit.
Unless you into that. Because we're very pro. Like, I just want to make it clear. We're very pro, like BDSM, whatever you're into, I'm okay with that, and we're not judging. This is a safe space.
I love that I tried to make the shit serious, but Josh was like, "Hold up, let me add this one last caveat." All right, fuck what I was about to say. Moving forward. What the fuck we got on deck? We gonna talk? You wanna talk about this Lil Wayne shit?
We can. I mean, we can touch on the fact that, like...
It's old now by the time y'all heard it, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Lil Wayne essentially doesn't believe black... Listen, I mean, first of all, can we just put it this way?
Don't co-sign Lil Wayne.
No.
That's fair.
Don't do it. For me, there's three tenements of the podcast.
Uh-huh.
There's Black Lives Matter.
Uh-huh.
Fuck the police.
Uh-huh.
And Nas is wild overrated. That's three tenements of the podcast. For me, that's my tenements of the project.
Two and a half of those, I agree with. Yeah, so apparently Lil Wayne doesn't know what Black Lives Matter means, despite
shouting out Black Lives Matter on
yelling stage. Black Lives Matter at a concert.
Yeah,
recently. I find like a lot of this shit, because there's a lot of black folks who are like, yo, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or it should be all lives matter. You know what I mean? I had a woman, a black woman.
Common.
I had a black woman on Facebook block me. Because she was like, we shouldn't be saying Black Lives Matter. We should be saying all lives matter. And I was like, well, sis, I respectfully disagree with that. I mean, you know, we know the reason behind this movement, and the reason for black folks saying that our lives matter is not to negate everyone else's matter. A fucking child could understand that.
Yeah.
But this person blocked me, and apparently she's from, like, the Lil Wayne school of thought.
Yeah, I have a cousin that's like, oh, all lives matter, blah, blah, blah. And, like... I feel you, dog, and I know he like his brain is a little gone. Like he's, you know, he was heavy into drugs and shit. So like, I think his brain is slightly gone.
Shout out to Josh for putting his cousin on blast.
Yeah, I'll never listen, dog. I'm not worried about it.
On the podcast.
But he's wild. All lives matter. But again, like, I think I just don't think he understands. Like, you know what I mean?
And
for Wayne, I don't think it's a not understandable thing. I mean, I think one of the biggest things is we have to stop expecting every artist to be like, while socially conscious, like
absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
When most of your music is about doing like sipping lean, smoking weed, doing mushrooms, and all types of wild shit and fucking broads, like I'm not always looking to you to give me my morality meter, like you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where is he? It's probably a question you should have danced around or did whatever you needed to do, to avoid it, but like. I mean, you look at the interview, this visual of the interview, he's wild high.
Yeah.
Like, he touching Mars. Like, he's landing on Mars right now.
Uh-huh.
and you're asking this dude these questions. I mean, yeah. As an interviewer, I think, I mean, what was it, 60 Minutes?
I feel like it was 60 Minutes, yeah.
Okay, if it was, I know, like, probably they're sitting there like, yo, we got gold. Like, you know what I mean? So
look at this shit
he said. I'm sure they're probably like, yo, we got gold. But I think as a responsibility, as an interviewer, you kind of got to go like, this dude, we can't even do this interview.
Yeah, like,
he's so high
that
we're not even going to get straight answers out of him.
Yeah, I think that there's a first of all, like, there's a baseline anti-blackness that runs as a thread through politics, social relations, media, all these different things. It's a foundational, since colonialism, anti-blackness is a thread that runs as a historical continuum through every aspect of our lives. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say that is to kind of illustrate why a black person would say, oh no, fuck that Black Lives Matter shit, all lives matter. Because it's taboo to assert black humanity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not necessary, because Wayne knows what Black Lives Matter is.
Yeah.
I'm sure he even knows what it means. I'm not so confident that he's willing to acknowledge it or even willing to not dismiss it in that form. It reminded me of when Jay-Z was on, I think it was 60 Minutes.
Possibly.
Yeah, this is a different thing than the anti-blackness piece. But just how black celebrities perform in, like, white media spaces, it reminded me, I remember watching, I think it was Hov on 60 Minutes, and they had, like, his mom, and they were in Marcy Projects and all of this shit. And this white dude was interviewing him, and they asked him, they was like, so, Jay-Z, you said that back in the 80s during the crack era, if you wasn't selling it, then you was using it.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
And he looks at Hov and he's like, so were you selling it? Were you a drug dealer? And Jay-Z, I never forget this shit, Jay-Z is just like, wow. You know that shit niggas hit when they like caught in some shit? It's like, wow. And he's like, that's a strong term, you know what I mean? And I don't know if he didn't want to, you know,
be on 60 Minutes essentially, you know, co-signing the fact that he was,
you know what I mean? Telling on himself or whatever. When I watched it, it struck me like he doesn't want to own up to that.
Yeah.
He was performing like a respectability.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that in a way Wayne was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
In that thread of like anti-blackness, it's like, yo, I'm not with that black shit. You hear people on the internet say it all the time, like, you know, oh, you be posting that black shit. I'm black. And it's tied into our survival.
Yeah, definitely. You know? It's also like it's a strange place for like black celebrities, indigenous celebrities, Hispanic celebrities, where like they have to carry the weight of their whole culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Where white celebrities don't have to do that.
And carry that weight into white media spaces that are like aggressive.
Aggressively against what that is. Like, absolutely. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
They don't, there's a lot of, like, white celebrities don't have to carry like every issue that happens. That a white person, you know, some white dude shoots up a movie theater.
Yeah, yeah.
Every white celebrity doesn't have to carry that. Like,
yeah. Or answer for it.
Yeah,
or,
answer for it. Yeah, they don't have to. But like, if a rapper gets shot, every rapper has to then have to like make, you know, be the voice for that.
And
it's a problem where, you know, or like you look like, you know, Johnny Depp just got in trouble with like throwing shit at his wife or his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend, whatever or hitting her or some shit. Like, every white celebrity then, like, especially every male white celebrity doesn't then have to answer questions about Johnny Depp or their friendships with Johnny Depp.
Absolutely. And they don't have to, like, denounce domestic violence.
They have no responsibility to it.
Yeah.
I mean, they take that on sometimes. Like, there's plenty of white celebrities that take on social causes and social issues.
Shout out to Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, shout out to Susan Sarandon, Robert De Niro, all that.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of dudes that do that, and then that's dope. That's definitely cool.
Yeah.
A lot of them came out against the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Like,
there's been a lot that have really put work in. But they choose to do that.
Absolutely.
People of color generally have to do that.
Yeah. You know, nobody's asking, like, Maggie Gyllenhaal can be apolitical.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she's not required. And I think that also that's part of the privilege of being white in general.
Yeah.
White people, I was just talking to somebody about this. I can't think of who it was, but you listen to a lot of, like, white popular culture and art and media, a lot of it is like thoroughly apolitical.
Yeah.
Or it posits itself or believes that it is apolitical. You know what I'm saying? Whereas like you look at even like black like comedy shows back in the day, like Martin, Living Single, what's the joint? South Central.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like shows that were supposed to be like kind of like entertainment, those even tapped into like the deep political issues.
Because at the end of the day, everything is political.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like any kind of stance like a show Martin would take, like Martin having Biggie on there, it's like, oh, well, they're having a dude that, you know, talks about selling drugs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so at a stance, so like where Fox can be like, well, you know, we don't really want, you know what I mean? Like,
there's a
thing where, like, you know, if Biggie talks about selling drugs, they can have, you know, it's an issue if you have him on there. But if Robert De Niro makes a movie about killing a bunch of people and, you know what I mean, and all that kind of shit, well, like, it's entertainment. At the end of the day, it's all entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, their choices are, you know what I mean, there are almost every choice that a person of color makes comes off as a political stance.
Mm-hmm.
And it, where, like you said, where white people can essentially come off as apolitical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, In following with like that theme of like political blackness in like white media spaces, my man Dave Chappelle, our man's the man's of the culture. He hosted Saturday Night Live.
This first time too, right? I believe it was the first time.
I think it was the first time. Yeah. And it's the first time in 30 years people have watched Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. First time I've watched it since Will Ferrell was on it. Dog,
you know what's crazy? My pops used to be so into SNL.
Really?
Like back in like the Belushi era and shit. That was his wave. Dave Chappelle, I have conflicted like feelings about the show. The show was good.
Yeah.
It was really funny. We'll talk about like Tribe because Tribe was excellent on it. But they opened up with a woman. If you're listening, like give me the name of this person. I can't think of her name.
Hey, I don't know. I know she was in the new Ghostbusters movie. Yeah. She's like the big breakout star from.
No, it was a white woman. That voice you hear in the background, that's my man. No Picks. You know what I mean? He's babysitting us right now. But yeah, like I can't think of this woman's name, but she was dressed up as Hillary Clinton, and she sang the famous Leonard Cohen piece, Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Leonard Cohen, who just died.
Yeah.
It's this fucking 2016 is crazy. Yeah. It's almost cliche, like.
Yeah, exactly.
2016 is crazy, but it really fucking is, because Leonard Cohen is dead. But she dressed up as Hillary Clinton, which I thought was fucking odd. And she sang Hallelujah. And then at the end, she kind of like looked at the camera and said something to the effect of like, we'll get over this, or we'll Kate make McKinnon. It through this.
That's her name. Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon. Shout out to you, Kate McKinnon. That shit was cool. And you have a nice singing voice. But that shit was problematic. And the reason why I say that is because SNL, y'all just had Donald Trump on your show.
Yeah.
And y'all were fucking yucking it up with this dude.
Yeah.
And it's similar to the backlash that Jimmy Fallon received when he had Trump on his show. It's like you're legitimizing and even in some ways like using media to like humanize these people.
Yeah. And part of the problem too is like there's the fair, like, I forget what it's called, but like if you have Clinton on, you have to have Trump on.
But does that apply to two,
yeah, I
two
think
points?
So. Yeah.
Okay. So if that applies to SNL, okay. If that's the case, if I'm, you know, Lorne Michaels,
I just don't have either of them on.
100%.
I don't 100%.
Don't have either of them on because, you know, just a couple weeks ago, this guy was fucking Hitler, and now he's like on SNL, like yucking it up with you guys and like in skits and shit. And it comes down for me. It comes down to kind of like the bankruptcy of like liberalism in this country, which, you know, a lot of like your favorite like good celebrities, you know, they're not like radical. Some of them are conservative. The overwhelming like kind of like political thread in Hollywood is like that of liberalism.
Yeah.
You know, socially liberal, you know, we love the blacks, we love the gays, but, you know, we may have to spend money on military intervention.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of like political framework. And a lot of these folks, because even now, beyond like Jimmy Fallon and like SNL and all that stuff, now you're seeing the liberal Democrats, you know, kind of fall in line.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, we hope to govern with, you know, President-elect Trump. Oh, we hope that, we wish him success.
Yeah.
What does success mean for a man who has been openly courting racism and homophobia throughout his campaign.
Yeah.
What does success mean? It's like, and I didn't, you know, I'm not the first person to ask this question. Are you, you know, wishing him success in building a wall around Mexico? Like, what does it mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of times it's people going like, well, you know, I have a friend who's who works with like the Democratic National Committee, and you know, like I talked to her immediately after the election, and she was just like, you know, it's just time to mourn, and then time to, you know what I mean, start organizing for the next couple of years.
Yeah,
and I think for some people on the ground, it's a little different, but like people in Congress, like, well, now we have to walk, you know, we have to kind of toe party lines, which is crazy, especially in like you talked about with liberalism, that happens. Meanwhile, like Republicans firmly took stands against going, we will not work with Obama.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what
Absolutely.
I mean? So I think where part of the problem is with liberalism a lot of times is it's so fucking soft.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's so much of like, oh, well, no, well, we gotta do this.
Yeah.
No. Like, my whole thing was with Obamacare from jump. Like, yo, no, we're gonna do single payer. That's it. There is no going to be no concession. We'll push this through. I'll push it through executive order if I have to.
Absolutely.
Instead of going like, well, we'll work with you. Let's dance and let's do that.
Yeah.
Like, no, let's push it through. Through 8 years of the Bush era, like, we got shit pushed down our throat and there was no,
yeah,
oh, we're going to work with people. No, this is what we're doing.
This
we're pushing through.
Is. Yeah.
And I think sometimes liberalism and Democrats a lot of times can be a little too soft in allowing things. You know what I mean? And, you know, obviously you could tell from our stances, neither one of us consider ourselves Democrats.
Yeah, yeah, or yeah. I'm certainly, I stopped watching Rachel Maddow years ago.
Yeah.
But, it's just, it was interesting to see Dave Chappelle, you know, kind of pulling it back to SNL. It was interesting to see him back in front of an audience like that. Like, you know, he's been touring and doing like his stand up and stuff, but that kind of like huge national audience.
Yeah.
And he rocked it like I thought it would.
Yeah.
He was
huge in the sense that like it was trending all over Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Every Facebook post on my timeline was about
Dave
SNL.
SNL, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so, that like, never
no,
was never like
no,
that.
No, that never happens.
Yeah. It's just it was the only thing what I was gonna say,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's all good. The only thing was like at the end he kinda did a similar thing to the Hallelujah piece in the beginning. He's like, you know, we're disenfranchised, and you know, we're gonna give you a chance, Mr. Trump. I hope you give us a chance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, Dave Chappelle, he's speaking for himself. That shit don't speak for me. I'm not giving this motherfucker no chance.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Or any of them. But that's a whole other thing. But It overall, he rocked it. Like, his monologue was funny. He talked about, like, Harambe and shit.
Yeah.
And, like, niggas dressing up in gorilla costumes. The joke wasn't as problematic as it sounds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, for me, you know what I'm saying? For me,
that's
paraphrasing.
Totally lying, but no, exactly. And like, the first sketch, whatever, was great.
You can
say
skit.
In the sense that it was the whole, just kind of more like how me and you probably viewed the election, and like, you know, because I know from jump, I was telling people like, yeah, he'll win. Like, I think
he'll win. Yeah,
you know what I mean. And So, like, while, like, white liberals were like, oh, man, and they're sitting there and they can't believe it's happening, and Chappelle, then Chris Rock joins it, and, like, no, yeah, like, why are y'all, why are y'all so surprised? Like,
absolutely.
That racism is still alive in 2016.
I think that, it just, it's... It kind of crystallized a thought that a lot of people of color had, looking around at like their liberal white friends and being like, "Dog, you don't know how your family votes. You don't know how, you know, your cousins and your aunties and your uncles. You don't you really surprised by this shit? You know what I mean? I think that especially like, you know, in an area like the area that we in now, like West Philly, Cedar Park area of West Philly, this is like a bubble for liberals and like self-described radicals, and that makes up your social circle and all of that, you know what I mean? And it you tend to think that like this is the world.
Yeah, and it's not.
This is the country. It fucking ain't. You know what I'm saying? Donald Trump, I think that it was telling that skit when Chappelle said to the white woman who was like, "Yo, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe. I really think she came to this revelation."
Yeah,
she's like, "I really think that Trump's gonna win, and I think that America is racist." And it was telling like Dave Chappelle looks at her and he's like, "Yeah, well, my grandfather told me something like that, but he was a slave or something." Or his great-grandfather. He's like, he was a slave or something. So, you know, kind of like fake being dismissive, but really crystallizing like, yo, we have different experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
We see, I think that a lot of the great political thought in this country has come out of the black experience, out of the indigenous experience, because we don't, some of those like blinders and like those what's the word, I guess like assumptions are not there as it would be with like some of our like white radical and like white liberal counterparts.
I mean, they tend to think like, well, everybody's growing like me, and this is how it works.
Nah,
like,
some motherfuckers don't want to grow.
No,
and this election, you know, proves it's that. Clear.
Yeah.
It's clear. So yeah, it was dope. A Tribe Called Quest, fucking is a
shed a couple Thug Tears.
Yo, listen, when A Tribe Called Quest performed on SNL. When they did the song "We the People," and Jerobe and Fife are Jerobe and Tip, are rhyming, and they pull the banner down, and it's a picture of Fife with like the big heart and shit. I cried, dog.
Yeah, no, I was definitely. Like, I welled up and
crazy.
It hurt. It touched. I mean, like when he passed. Period.
Yeah.
Like I woke up that morning and just was like, I seen it and just was like, yo, that's not real.
It's
like,
ridiculous.
It was crazy. They killed it. Buster and Consequence came on stage on the second joint. Yeah. And
apparently Consequence, I gotta watch it again. Apparently Consequence shouted out my roommate.
Oh really?
Yeah. He posted on Facebook. He was like, yo, shout out to my man Consequence for giving me a shout out on SNL. I was like, nigga, you know Consequence?
Yeah, right?
So, yeah, that was dope. Like, but,
I wonder if he knows him, like, pre-New Teeth.
Oh, shit. It's very possible. It's very possible. Shout out to getting money and getting your teeth fixed. Yeah. But, yeah, Tribe. And they have a new album out.
Yes.
Yeah. It's Thank You.
Thank You.
Wait. I got it. It's We Got It From Here, ... Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard it? Have you
listened to it? Yes, I heard it. I want to fall short of calling it amazing, but it definitely is. It's a great album.
Yeah.
The energy on it. That's what I love most about it. It's just the energy feels like, first of all, it feels like they want to be there together.
Yeah, it's like they sound like ready.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like they wanted to put this together. A lot of times bands or like legendary groups, they have like old sessions laying around, you know, and they put together one last hurrah, really a lot of times so they can go out and tour and make money.
They'll cobble some shit together.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But this one, they sound like energized. The record is really political.
Yeah.
Somebody was talking about it on like a Facebook thread, and I commented and I said, "Yo, on the low, the new Tribe album is really feminist to me. Uh-huh. Like a lot of the like, and it's nothing overt." Like, yeah. they don't have any, like, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar songs. Yeah. They're throwing mad shout-outs to, like, just women and, like, progression of women in the lyrics, yeah. in the songs. The mixing, like, the actual, like, sound of it, I would have liked it to be better. I hear that Bob Power, legendary engineer Bob Power, who did the first three Tribe records, he wasn't involved. Which I don't understand why, but maybe, you know, he couldn't be.
Yeah.
But besides that, like, it's dope for me. I've been saying to people, I like it more than the new De La album.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I like it better than De La. I like the energy on it. I mean, like, at the end of the day, for the energy of it,
yeah.
it just sounds like something where I think De La wasn't, you know, De La record is dope, the energy's just not the same.
Yeah.
And part of that too is though because maybe because De La has been recording with each other and they've continued to put out material.
Yeah, yeah.
Where this was like the first time that Tribe's gotten together and actually wanted to be around each other.
Make some shit, yeah.
And I think that shines through on on the album.
Yeah, it's hard. Like the production is dope. A lot of it is really creative and interesting. Like musically, like they have like the song with Anderson .Paak that. It's like this fusion of like being like really catchy as a song, but it also is really intricate musically.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a dope record. I fuck with it. Yeah. I fuck with it heavy.
Yeah, so do I. I think it's a really great record. It's probably up there with Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like as far as, you know, it's not
which Beats, Rhymes, and Life has aged well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, me and you talked about it the other day. Beats, Rhymes, and Life is a grown-up album. Mm-hmm. These dudes are at that point where they're probably late 20s, early 30s at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we were like 15, 16 years old, relating to an album about guys being in there like their late 20s and early 30s and actually rhyming about that.
Absolutely.
Was not something that we technically, you know, we just were, you know, I wasn't there for that. Like, you know what I mean?
I think that De La Soul took that. Like they kind of like cut the pioneering path.
Yeah.
I hate to use like that kind of like colonial language, but
yeah.
they cut that path through in hip hop because they've been on that too.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Growing up music.
All
yeah.
the what's it? The Bionics.
Yeah.
Mosaic Thump. All of that shit. Like they've been on that tip. Like straight up. Like rhyming. Like nigga, I'm about to take my kids to school.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Or like something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you've seen that. Carry over into other realms of hip-hop. Jay-Z makes more grown-up music now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you've seen that it evolved. Nas, the Life is Good album, was a more grown-up album. Like, you know what I mean? Was
an album not worthy of slander.
No, that album is not worthy of slander. Now, if we go back, it's slander. But no, I mean, like, but you've seen that as we progress, like, there's more hip-hop that's about being grown up.
Yeah, yeah. And absolutely.
That's good. Like, that's a good thing that music is evolving that way. But back to the Tribe thing, like, I was excited about it because it was a good, I was so afraid of just some, like, slop they threw together.
Yeah, yeah.
To kind of ride the wave of, like, well, Fife passed, and so now we need to, like, try to capitalize on what we gotta have.
Feed them something. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We have a couple Fife verses in storage. Let's throw them on some new shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's push it out there, and it's not going to be great.
Yeah, like, that's what Diddy would do.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, I'm sure there's probably another version of, like, Biggie verses remixed over other New York beats. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's definitely going to be, like, a Biggie verse over a Zaytoven beat.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Puff you will know, put that out there.
Puff is going to make 900 versions of Notorious Thugs
over
Zaytoven beats.
Yeah.
And like London on the track. And
Mike Will
made it, all of that shit. Because Biggie didn't spit like that double time shit a lot.
Yeah.
So it's always every couple years, whatever like new hot shit is out, Puffy will find a way.
He's probably emailing Metro Boomin right now.
As we speak.
To get Future and Biggie on the same track.
Yeah,
definitely going to happen.
I can see it. And I'm going
to. On like the 30th anniversary of Bad Boy Records or some shit like that.
I'm going to barf in my fucking mouth. So the Tribe Record is dope. What else have you been like listening to anything else besides that?
A dude that we both are heavy on, Westside Gunn.
Westside Gunn. Hey, yo.
Yeah.
Yo.
His Hitler Wears Hermes 4 came out.
Word.
That
shit is hard.
Yeah, that's hard body.
Fucking hard.
Yeah, it's hard body. It's a quality joint. I've been listening to that pretty much. The ASAP Mob dropped Cozy Tapes.
I haven't heard that shit.
It's okay.
What's the name? Is that song the Lamborghini?
Yeah, Lamborghini Highs on there.
I'm fucking with it.
Yeah. And actually, ASAP Nast steals that joint. Like he's
the whole
on like
tape.
Yeah, like he's on like two or three. He's like two or three songs, but like he's the best on there.
Killing
like
it.
It almost sounds like Rocky kind of like mailed it in.
Yeah.
And
Rocky too rich to spit, yo.
Yeah,
like he ain't on it like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And part of the thing was it'd be I would feel like if it was like a vehicle for your other artists. It'd be a little something different. Like, he's like, oh, but Rocky's on it a lot. Like, you
he
know
all
I mean?
Over the shit.
Yeah, he all over it.
But he ain't not, rapping hard.
Yeah. I mean, there's some joints on there that are good, but it's like, that wasn't where he was. He didn't sound like he was really trying to put it in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the Big Baby Dram record.
Oh, that's the shit.
Yeah, that record. I know it's been out for a little bit. I was a little late catching on to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that joint with Yachty and, like, the Broccoli joint, like, dog, that album, it's fun. It's a fun record.
It's really good, like, musically, too.
Yeah.
Like, some people have a gift for, like, melody.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. Dram has it. Is it Dram or is it Dram? I don't know how to pronounce this nigga name. Dram. You know what I'm saying? He has, like, a gift for melody. Like, the record, he starts off with... it's like this really pretty, like vocally pretty piece where it kind of sounds like gospel.
Yeah.
Like you could tell he, you know, might be like a church nigga. But it immediately goes into like some like straight 80s, like something that you would put on like the soundtrack to like Die Hard or something.
Yeah.
And him and Young Thug are like rapping and singing on that shit.
You know what it kind of reminds me? He kind of reminds me of is Dirty, Old Dirty Bastard.
Yeah.
And just like the freeness to do whatever you want to do. Like, you know what
Absolutely.
I mean? Like, Dirty Records would be singing and rapping and this, that, and the third. And I think, and it was always free.
Yeah.
And I think that comes off in his record. Like, it's a fun record and it sounds exciting. But yeah, I think that comes through in that a lot. Like, I think his freeness to do whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah, word. I also, what is it? Mickey Fax?
Yeah, Mickey Fax.
And Knots?
I didn't hear it.
Fam. Mickey Fax and Knots. And, you know, if you know me, you know Knots is one of my, like, favorite producers.
Yeah.
I follow him on Instagram, and he posts, like, 5 beats a day. I've never heard one of them be, like, a bad beat.
Yeah.
Or even mediocre. Like, he posts, like, 5 flamers every day, which, if you're a hip-hop producer, you know how difficult that is. But the Mickey Fax and Knots collaborative album is called The Achievement, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
It's fucking fire.
Really?
It's hard. They got a record with Mickey Fax and Styles P. It make you want to shoot your grandmother. That shit is so hard. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. It's a lot of times, you know, cats, especially like cats in our age group, are like, oh, hip hop is dead. There's no good hip hop, blah, 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 blah. Fam, there's so much dope shit.
Yeah.
All coming out all the time.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of good records that come out, and people just don't want to be open to anything new. Like, you know what I mean? And
that's true.
Like, there's a lot of good records that are coming out. Conway joint getting ready to drop.
What is this record called?
GOAT, grimiest of all time.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Yeah. They just him and Westside just released a new track called Frankie Lyman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Friday.
Yeah,
and that was definitely dope. But his record,
no, go ahead.
I was just gonna say his record. I think comes out Black Friday.
Oh, word. Yeah,
so that's another, like, 2 weeks, and there's another, like, I already know it's going to be a solid project. Derringer on the beat and Conway in the booth.
Conway's so dope, yo. Yeah. Like, he, that nigga makes me want to be a more solid man.
Yeah.
when he raps. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, he don't make me want to shoot and sell drugs and none of that stuff, but... Josh is looking at me. he definitely brings.
Make me want to shoot Zelda.
Yeah, that was the look you were giving me. But yeah, he's definitely ill. Like that whole, I guess we're gonna shout them out every podcast.
Possibly
the whole Griselda camp is fucking dope.
Griselda,
you know what I'm saying? By Fashion Rebels.
Yeah.
I wish I were cool enough to have like some of their like clothing. That they yeah. made. Not that shit with the Confederate flag on though. Y'all,
I didn't see that.
Y'all gotta chill out. Yeah, you watch West Side Gun videos. He be wearing like the jackets and they got the Confederate flag on.
Oh, for real?
I can't rock with that shit. Yeah. I can't rock with that. But everything else that they do is fucking gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. We got anything else to chat about?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Just a real quick thing on with everything with Tribe releasing and Fife passing. Big thing, man. Like I think it's not something that's talked about, especially in hip hop period. Yo, man, get yourself checked out. You know what I mean? Health wise. Yeah. Get yourself checked. Like I found out I had high blood pressure. Like my joint was like so high, I was like stroke level.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So like get yourself checked out, man. Like, you know, eat right, do all that kind of shit. But like more than anything, man, go to the doctors, dog. Like
please.
Like
and I need to, that's a lesson for me too. I need to do that.
Yeah, like you know, I know it's not like a, you know, a masculine thing to be like, yo, I gotta go to the doctor. But like, yo, at the end of the day, dog, you wanna be out here. Like, you know what I mean? You don't wanna
die. You wanna raise your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Or if you don't have kids, you want to be out here doing all this popping fun shit.
Yeah, and scumbaggery and like, yeah, you know what I mean? You want to be out here. So
get yourself definitely. Checked out so that you can wantonly sling your dick around.
Oh yeah.
If you don't have any other obligations or morals,
or if you do, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Hey.
Don't look to me as your life messenger. Understand.
Josh is not a life coach.
No, but if you pay me, I will be your life coach.
I'll pretend
to be your life coach.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's funny. My man, think of what you just said about Fife and like the health piece made me think of my man Charlie, aka Wino Willie, dope producer, talented, gifted musician, and like a dope homie. Shout out to him, supporter of the podcast. He said something really amazing when we were talking about the Tribe record. He was like, yo, you know what's crazy? Jerobe ain't rapped in 20 some years.
Yeah.
But he threw on the cape for his brother.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely. And that shit, like when he said that, I was like, damn, that's real. You know what I mean? And it's just poignant because it's like there's gonna be a lot of that in hip hop. You know what I mean? As like you've always talked about, like as folks in the culture, we get older, and all of that stuff. You know, you want to be out here to spit your own bars. You know what I mean? Fife fought like a champion. You know what I mean? Like he's you know, when's the last time you heard a funky diabetic?
Yep.
And we was kids when he said that shit.
Yeah,
we was young boys when he said that shit. And he fought all the way up to 2016.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, passed
still,
away.
Still way too young, man. Way too young.
So yeah, if you out here, you know, take the pork off your fork, you know what I'm saying? Stop eating that swine. Stop being a fucking savage.
Yeah.
And get healthy,
you know
what I mean? And live your life and prosper.
Yeah. I mean, although Trump's in office, so you may not want to do that.
You may not want to live long.
Yeah. You may not, but, you know, at the end of the day, nah, get yourself together, man. Get, you know, take a walk every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Walk.
Like, get yourself in some decent health.
I know a guy, my homie, I ain't going to name you, but this nigga goes to the Chinese store around the corner, he hop in the whip and drive around. Yeah. I'm like, come on, dog.
Yeah, you don't want to, you know, come you want to be out here, so... You know, in honor of Fife, if you love Fife and you love A Tribe Called Quest, man, go to the doctor, get yourself checked out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And this has been episode motherfucking 2.
Number 2.
Of the Serious Rap Shit Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we will see y'all later.
Trump, eat a dick.
Eat a fucking dick, Trump.
Eat that nigga.
Word.
Instead of adding.
Me and my fam take this rap shit serious.